Here is what we believe at Daleville Christian Church as written in the letter 2 Thessalonians in the second chapter. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today's Bible reading is from the letter to the Colossians in the third chapter, the first 11 verses. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Since Easter, we have been talking about new life in Christ, our new life in Christ. Jesus' resurrection isn't just about the end of our lives, as in Jesus' promise that those who believe in me shall never die. No. Jesus said that I have come that you may have life and have life in abundance. Since we are alive now, it follows that Jesus is talking about this life, our life now, not some future. Oh, your future is secure in Jesus, but you have a new life. Now, you and I don't know how to live a new life. Why? Well, because it's new. We don't live our new life like our old life. Why would we? Our old life consisted of living the way we were taught by other people. Some of them didn't even believe in Jesus and didn't care about Jesus. Since Jesus has given us a new life, we want to live this abundant new life we have been promised. And we only discover how to live this new life from God's Word. Now, some of us may have been like those church people in Colossae. That's what a Colossian is, a person from the Greek town of Colossae. Colossae was a Greek town in Phrygia, in present-day Turkey. The book of Acts mentions Paul's activity in Phrygia. It was also located on the interstate. It doesn't say that, but even today, there is a modern highway and a railroad in and out of Colossae. So the town of Colossae has been, like Daleville, located on major routes of travel. Colossae, however, was big into textile manufacture and trade. So Colossians were pagans. They worshipped pagan gods, probably Greek gods, Roman gods, and local gods. And they were still worshipping pagan gods when Paul showed up to proclaim new life in Jesus Christ. Paul worked with Timothy and Epaphras in the church of Colossae. However, they eventually all left and continued their mission work throughout Phrygia and Galatia. It was after the evangelists and founders of the church left that there arose some confusion about life in Christ in Colossae. Now, scholars are not certain about exactly what kind of confusion there was in the church. It probably wasn't Jewish influence. It had to do with some pagan understandings of what this new life in Christ might look like. We might be surprised that there were inherited pagan understandings and how those had to do with certain rules. Paul tells the church plainly, live your lives in Christ, rooted in Christ, and built up in Christ. Paul then says, don't be deceived by human tradition. You see, we tend to think of pagans as wild people. We tend not to think that pagans might be people who practiced giving up food or giving up sex. But those pagans did. And some of them claimed that following Jesus required the same things. Pagans thought they knew what it was to be religious. A new religion comes along, and they say, oh, we know how to do that. Paul says plainly and clearly, new life in Christ is not about what you eat and drink, or when you celebrate a festival or a Sabbath, or even the importance of angels. Now Paul's saying, go ahead, celebrate your festival. Go ahead, observe a Sabbath. Go ahead, listen to the angels. But don't make all that necessary for your salvation. Don't make all that necessary for your relationship to Jesus. Don't make it necessary for salvation. Don't make all those things required, because they're not required for salvation. Paul says, asks the question directly, why do you submit to rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Why would you do that? That isn't what life in Christ is about. Paul reemphasizes for the church people, you died with Christ, you are raised with Christ to new life. Live in Christ. Don't live by rules. Now, this may sound strange to some of you because somewhere we got the impression that following Jesus was all about rules. The Apostle Paul would be shocked to hear any of us say that, and Paul would be grieved. Let's take alcohol, for example. There are many Christians in this country who believe that all alcohol is wrong. I don't believe that all alcohol is wrong, but I don't drink. Why? Because it gives me a headache. And I don't drink because addiction runs in my family. I don't want to take the risk. So why are so many Christians in this country, entire churches and denominations, so against alcohol? The answer is easy. History will teach you how bad the alcohol problem was in this country. Have you ever wondered why there are laws against public intoxication and drinking and driving? Why? Because people would be publicly intoxicated and drink and drive all the time. The laws still don't prevent it from happening. And on the American frontier, from the beginning of this country, alcohol was a public nuisance. Preachers would tell people not to drink. Preachers would tell people to stop drinking. Preachers would tell people to give up alcohol. Why? Well, have you ever carried on a conversation with a drunk person? Did you realize you might be the only person who remembers that conversation? Preachers don't want to preach to drunks. You can't hear the gospel if you're drunk. You can't make a decision for Jesus Christ while you're drunk. Well, you can't make a clear-headed decision for Christ while you're drunk. So preachers told people to stay away from alcohol. So we wind up believing that staying away from alcohol is necessary for salvation. But it isn't necessary to give up alcohol to be saved. Jesus is what you need to be saved. But really, you want a sober Jesus when you hear the gospel sober. Jesus, through an inebriated haze, is not good. In the first church I served, I was at a wedding reception, and a Christian called me down for attending a reception where alcohol was served. As if the very presence of alcohol might endanger someone's salvation. But that doesn't stop people from making rules for following Jesus. And the problem was pretty big in Colossae. Let's take finances. We talked about money last Sunday. The question was asked of me recently with regard to giving to the church. But there are no rules on financial giving. With regard to giving to the church, there are no rules on financial giving. If you decide to follow a financial giving rule like tithing, that's fine. But that is not your relationship to Jesus. But if you know that Jesus wants you to tithe, then you should definitely tithe. But can you tell someone else to tithe? No. Tithing grows out of your relationship with Jesus. Tithing doesn't make you related to Jesus. Are you following this? Tithing grows out of your relationship with Jesus. Tithing doesn't make you related to Jesus. Paul was trying to get the Colossians to see that new life flows from Jesus. Let me put it this way. Doing the right thing does not flow from doing the right things. Doing the right thing doesn't flow from doing the right things. Doing the right thing flows from being a new creation in Jesus Christ. Doing the right thing does not flow from doing the right thing. Doing the right thing flows from being a new creation in Jesus Christ. Christ is Lord, Paul said. Since we are in Christ, then we are to live in Christ. Paul will say, live what you are in Christ. And then lists our roles that we can live and the new way that can be lived in these roles. We can live them in Christ. You can be a wife in Christ. You can be a new way to be a husband in Christ. You can be a new way to be a child in Christ. You can be a new way to be a father in Christ. You can be a new way to be a slave in Jesus Christ. And you can be a new way to be a slave owner in Jesus Christ. New life for the old role you have fulfilled. We can live this new life in Christ because Christ is Lord and we are His. Let me put this another way with regard to our behavior. We can imitate the saints, but that doesn't make us saints. Does that make sense? We can imitate the saints, but that doesn't make us saints. You can imitate the saints, but only Jesus can make you a saint. You can imitate the saints, but only Jesus can make you a saint. We can imitate great Christians, but that just makes us imitators of great Christians. Imitating a great Christian doesn't make you a great Christian. Paul will tell another church that you and I are supposed to work out our faith. And he doesn't mean works and what you do bring salvation. He means your salvation has got to be worked out every day. You've got to figure out by asking Jesus what to do. Paul will tell the Philippians, they're united in Christ, that they can be like-minded with Christ, and that is how they can have compassion. Compassion's not a goal. Compassion's a byproduct of our relationship with Jesus. Compassion is not a goal. Compassion is a byproduct of our relationship with Jesus. If you want to be compassionate, then you've got to get closer to Jesus. There is another reminder with regard to rules and living by the rules. Legalism says God will love us if we change. Legalism says God will love us if we change. If we do ABC, then God will love us. Or if we do ABC, then God will bless us. The gospel says God will change us because he loves us. The gospel says God will change us because he loves us. And it's a great quote. Legalism says God will love us if we change. The gospel says God will change us because he loves us. That's a great quote, but I didn't say it. It was Billy Graham's grandson, Tullian Shavijian. God's love through Jesus was so radical that those who heard it were changed and transformed. Tax collectors, zealots, prostitutes, the demon-possessed, the insane. They heard and they were transformed by Jesus and they followed Jesus. It isn't any different today. We can have a new life in Christ if we will live in Christ. If we will receive Jesus as Lord of our lives. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is. One more way to talk about this idea that Paul fought to get across to his churches, and he had to fight to get this idea across to his churches. We talk about membership and member with words like list and enrollment. I did a quick check on those words, enlistment, enlist, listed, enrollment. Those words do not occur in the New Testament. Those words simply aren't in the New Testament. When Paul talks about membership, Paul means like your arm, your leg, your hair. Members are living things, living parts of a bigger whole. Jesus used the terms branch and vine, an agricultural model where the members are living. We're growing out of Jesus. The church is growing together. We grow from Jesus. We're rooted in Jesus. That's another New Testament phrase. We use the word enrollment or enlistment, but it might be better to use the word embedded or encoded. Those words ring truer. We are embedded with Christ. Christ is encoded in us, and that encoding makes us do good things. Remember, we aren't good people. Jesus makes us do good things. Well, I'm sorry, maybe I've overspoken it. I'm not a good person. Jesus makes me do good things. Now, our Christian connection with Christ is an accomplished fact. If you've proclaimed Jesus Christ, Lord of your life, you've received him as your Savior, then your connection with Christ is an accomplished fact. And the apostle writes, since we are in Christ, then we are to live in Christ. Obeying the will of God is only possible from being incorporated, being embedded, being encoded. What's Paul's other term? Engrafted. Another agricultural term. We're being engrafted. And that's way more than enrollment. That's way more than enlistment. That's way more than an addition. It's intertwined. It's embedded. It's encoded. Live in Christ. Amen.